Hey, friends, welcome back to an episode of Notes from the Edge. I'm your host, Lisa Lacey, and this is the place we have the conversations we should have been having all along. In here, we're talking about the things that you ain't talking about, but guess what? We're going to talk about them. And today's guest is Beth Granger, and Beth is a speaker, consultant, trainer, MC, and LinkedIn and networking strategist who helps individuals, business leaders, sales teams, and huge organizations communicate more effectively to build relationships that lead somewhere meaningful. And guys, remember, we're all about relationships in here because that is foundation. When they are good, you are good. And then you can move on to conquer the world in your business. Through Beth Granger Consulting, she helps professionals accelerate their LinkedIn, social selling, networking, and communication learning curves. Her work is especially valuable for people who know they need to become more visible, but worry about their reputation, clicking the wrong place, saying the wrong thing. It is hard to be on LinkedIn because it's kind of cool to be a writer on LinkedIn because you get a little more leeway there. But Beth's program is Unleash the Power of LinkedIn, exactly what to say on LinkedIn, making conversations count, finding diamonds in your LinkedIn database, and next level networking training for professionals and organizations. But I love the fact that when clients ask why they choose to work with her, her answer is simple. She believes in connection, real conversation, which guess what? That's what we're about in here. Collaboration, curiosity, our favorite word, community, and kindness. And her work is grounded in the truth that technology may help us, but it cannot be a human. And we love that. Beth, welcome to Notes from the Edge. How are you doing today, friend?
Great to be here.
Well, good. I'm so glad you're here. So tell me, what got you into helping people in this way?
Like many people, it was sort of by accident. I mean, not by accident, but sort of by accident. So 16 years ago, I started my business without a business plan. And so it was like freelancing, doing a lot of different things, website, project management, social media strategy. And then one of my clients said, oh, you know, our sales team's coming in next month. Can you teach them how to use LinkedIn? And I don't know what happened. Here I am all these years later. So
I don't know what happened, but here I am kind of moment. You said yes, though, right?
Absolutely.
You said yes. And we had just talked about that yesterday, my friends. Listen, when an opportunity presents itself, even if you got to do it scared, please say yes to it. It is placed in front of you because it might be your divine mission and purpose. And I promise you, you can figure it out as you go. Many of us do. So I love that. I love that. Well, Beth, the fear beneath visibility. So that's a big issue for a lot of people, showing up, being seen. So when professionals, right, and I had to make that choice moving from corporate into becoming a writer, author, podcaster, that whole transition, what do you tell people when it comes to their fear of rejection or judgment or being misunderstood? How do you kind of walk them through that so they feel comfortable showing up and being seen in their authentic self?
Yeah, I do think that of all the social media platforms, LinkedIn feels the safest to people because it's business focused. I mean, yes, people share some personal things, but they know that they're not going to be, you know, doing a video of what they're eating for dinner. So
also there's not the amount of trolls on there. I'm correct. Just going to say, correct. I did TikTok lives for 2 years. Believe me, I know, girl. I know. Yeah.
That. So can I help people by saying, start with the method you're most comfortable with. So even if everybody's saying you have to do video, if you're not comfortable with video, so start with the way of communicating that you're comfortable with. So if you if it's going to take you weeks to do something a certain way, don't do that. Do the way that you'll actually communicate and put yourself out there.
The way that lights you up. Yeah. And I was doing TikTok vids again for 2 years, TikTok lives. That's how I was generating leads. And then my LinkedIn page, goodness, it was like a decade old from when I first started corporate work, but I didn't need it because most of my corporate work became word of mouth. And then I got back on it. And there was that kind of, what am I? Where am I? What am I going to do? But I started writing, and now I just started posting videos again. So I absolutely love that advice. Like, and do what lights you up. You know, if it lights you up, that's a sign that that's your thing. But as a writer, it made sense to write stuff. It
just made sense. And they're great features for writers. They're newsletter, the LinkedIn newsletter, for instance.
Yes, that is
more to say.
Yes, absolutely. And it's easy. It's so user-friendly. That's what I do love about a lot of things on LinkedIn, is it's very user-friendly. And I love the analytics that you get. I happen to have a lot of senior level people watching my stuff, and they ain't saying anything. I see you guys out there. I see you. Because they don't say stuff sometimes, but they're watching. So, and I love that you say this, even though you're helping people on social media, on LinkedIn, you cannot automate relationships. So we're entering a world where we're probably all using AI in some capacity, right? To help us save some time, write post messages, follow up emails, things like that. What part of relationship building can technology support, and what parts do we need to keep?
And I always have to remember when I talk about this, I like to write and I like to create images, and not everybody does, or not everybody feels confident with that. But there's so many tools or ways to use these tools to support you, as long as you think of them. I think of AI and different tools kind of like an intern, right? They can do a lot of stuff. They don't need to sleep, but
they're part of your team, right?
Correct. And so even when it comes to, for instance, using tools to write for you, they're all going to sort of sound the same, no matter how well you've trained it. Mm-hmm. So it's always to maybe use that as a starting point, but then make it better, make it something that if you saw it, you would want to read. Because if people are just sharing AI written stuff, then, and not even reading it or engaging with it, then it's just bots talking to bots. So the magic of LinkedIn, and really any social media, is the conversations that you can be having. And sharing content is a way of starting a conversation.
I love that. Yes, it's a way of starting a relationship, really, right? It's a way to show people who you are, to try to find your people, the right fit for whatever service or offer you have. So that's beautiful, my friend. So yeah, use them, but use them as tools. And if you do writing with them, go use it as bones. And I love that, a starting point, but then put you in it. Yeah. You got to be in there so people can see who you are, so your people can find you. Love it. Love it. So connection versus relationship. LinkedIn makes it possible to collect thousands of connections, but many people still feel disconnected. Like we are so connected, but never so been so disconnected in terms of people feeling so lonely, so isolated. So how can we address that and transform all this digital connection that we have into real human relationships?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your goal. But if you're not trying to sell to everybody, for instance, we've all seen that behavior, right? Where people are selling. But if you're really trying to get to know people, to see what makes sense, you know, you could be collaborators, you could be referral partners, who knows?
Yeah.
So the thing is to start the conversation on whatever social media platform. And then at some point, it will just become natural to say, hey, why don't we jump on a call, or why don't we jump on a Zoom, or why don't, right? Like, to take it beyond the platform.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, where the magic happens. Or even on the platform, I've been in some group messaging groups that started at an event. People said, hey, let's, and they just sent a message to a group of people. And that conversation has been going on for years.
Oh, wow. So you have community that way, guys. And remember, community is going to keep us going and motivate us and support us. And we are built for it. We are built for community. So we do need to continue to find, again, find who our people are, find the right fits in terms of who we want to work with, that fit our offer, our services, because we want to find the right fit to get the right payoff, right? We want our clients to get the payoff. So we want to make sure we're finding our people. But I love that you've been in groups for years just from events. That's amazing. And an amazing networking opportunity, because one person may say, hey, I can't do this, but you know what? Beth can. Hey, Beth, can you do this? Or, hey, I want to co-host a podcast episode. Hey, Beth, can you come co-host with me? So yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's an opportunity to develop friendships too.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. So your clients say they work with you because you listen well. And it's such an important skill and it's so underrated. So what does genuine listening require? And why do so many leaders miss this? Because they do.
Well, I can't speak for them. I don't know why they miss it, but I think the key thing is allowing yourself to be truly curious and want to understand the person that you're speaking with. So if you're talking, they don't get a chance to share what they're all about. For instance, in a sales conversation, right? If you're just presenting your stuff,
yeah,
you haven't learned, you don't even know if they need what you have yet. You don't know enough about them to be even talking about that. So
they want to feel heard first.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I teach it. It's a heard framework. It's an acronym for heart-centered sales. It's one of the many talks that I've given, but, the call happens in the first 20 minutes when people are able to feel like you see them, they trust you, and they have been heard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. So let them talk and then be like, hey, can I share with you what it is that I do? You know, yeah. I have, because the podcast is doing so well, I'm getting hit up by so many people, and it's fascinating to watch the different systems people have for coming at you, right? For coming at you with the sales. Like one was like, well, you're kind of here, but I was like, don't start off that way. That's not the way to start off. Start off with, hey, congratulations. It's good. We can get you better. So yeah, in my consulting, it was my job to sell $1 million contracts to make billions of dollars. So it's been fascinating to watch that everybody has a different tactic coming at me wanting to help out with the podcast, because it grew up to this point organically. Now we will be looking for some help to make sure we maintain that. So yeah, guys, listen, and not only in your professional life, but in your personal life, because, you know, it's my belief that when, again, our relationships are healthy, we can move on and conquer the world in our careers. But man, when they are toxic, they become all we can think about. So, and that's another thing. Make sure you're surrounding yourself with people like Beth is in her networking group, people that are not only like-minded, but people that have what you want and are where you want to be. And if you're the smartest person in the room, find a different room. Seriously, you know? So conversations that carry risk. Because some people don't want to take the leap, Beth. What makes a critical conversation productive rather than destructive? Especially when people are worried about their reputation, how they're going to be seen, money even, or belonging, right? Because we all have that innate need too.
Yeah.
So how can we approach those really difficult conversations and make them be productive?
So one of the ways is you have to build trust. You may already have it and there's a risk of it leaving, But you may just be starting a conversation and you don't know this person, they don't know you. So by building that trust, and the way you do that is by being curious and asking questions and really understanding where they're coming from. And then they'll understand based on those questions, they'll feel heard, like you said. Yeah. And then they'll feel that you care about them. And that's, yes, that's important. That's really the most important thing.
Isn't it? I mean, we all want the six and seven figures. And I mean, friends, it will come, I promise you, if you put your focus on where Beth's focus is, and that's the human connection first. Human connection first. And we love the word curiosity in here because it's a vibration that can be maintained. David L. Harkin's map of consciousness, it vibrates at about a 300. So it's in the willingness category and the optimism category. So it's a really fun place to stay. And also it helps those of us that perhaps things haven't always gone so well, or there's a boatload of trauma. It helps keep us from catastrophizing the future. So curiosity can be so much fun. And you're right. Get curious about the person in front of you and ask better questions. We say that a lot in here too. Ask better questions and keep asking, you know, keep digging and going to the next layer and the next layer and the next layer, because, you know, I've had people go, wow, I feel so great just from this conversation. And I'm sure you have too, because you are such a great active listener. So again, goes back to that. People just want to feel seen. They want to feel heard and they want to belong. So make sure you're doing that. Even in what you write or post and, you know, come from a place of wisdom and love and truth and trust, right? Love can be wisdom. Love can be truth. Love can be trust. Love can be love, but it can be all those other things too. So I absolutely love that. Well, Beth, when you work with organizations, what does kind of your setup look like, so people know if they want to reach out to you to help grow?
Yeah. And it's every arrangement is sort of custom depending on their needs, of course.
I love that.
I ask them all the questions, but frequently, depending on where I'm brought in, it might be working with just one team. It might be working with the entire organization, because there are different components that make a program successful. So, and it might be kind of like being a personal trainer at the gym, but for their LinkedIn behavior and critical conversations. Or it might be a series of sessions over time. It might be just being a speaker at their, at an event, a sales meeting or some kind of event that they're part of.
I love that. So you do a little bit of everything. I love the fact that you customize it to where their needs are. You dig in there, you ask the right questions, and then go, okay, here's what I feel like you may need. So what's kind of the first step for people to get in touch with you? Is it just hop on a call with you, or how do they connect with you?
Yeah, well, of course, LinkedIn, because that's my place.
That's your playground.
That's my place. And people don't always know this, but I have it set. There's a setting so that anyone can send me a message, even if we're not connected.
Oh, that's so cool.
I get spam that way, but I just ignore that to allow it to make it an easy way for people to contact me. So the message button, people can just send me a message.
I'm also
beta testing a new feature for LinkedIn, which is kind of interesting. And it's called advice sessions. So in the United States right now, if somebody goes to my page, there's a button that says get advice from me, and they can sign up, pay, and schedule like a pick your brain session or time to get my advice.
I love that. I'm actually in that group too. I'm going a little woo-woo with mine. Mine are intuitive sessions for a relationship specifically. Again, what ended up happening was most of my clients, that's where their focus needed to be. You know, they can have their business be fine, but their personal life's a hot mess. So that's what we've been working on a lot. So that's why I was like, okay, we're going to change direction, because the universe is sending me in this direction. And I certainly now have the healthiest relationships of my life. And so know how to get there, but it is fun being in that space. And yeah, guys, that's the way I would go. Check that feature out, test that feature out with Beth, see how it works, get a consult, come in, you know, with your challenges, and she'll ask the right questions and then determine what the best next steps for your growth are. And that can be an individual or an organization. So, all right, Beth, before we close out, we always ask our guests a couple of questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. The first question is, in your own life, what did you perform in order to survive? And what did dropping that role mask or performance do to improve your life?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Can you repeat that?
What did you perform in order to survive? And what did dropping that role, that mask, or that performance do to help your life?
Wow, that's a good one.
Isn't it deep? Such a deep question. It's how we close out everything. Yeah. We play roles or wear masks and we don't realize it. But once we drop it, there's freedom there.
I think I've always wanted to be very independent and like, I don't need anybody to help me. And I had a situation that could be a whole other conversation, but
we can have another podcast about that. Yeah.
I had a situation in my life and my town, my physical geographic town, supported my family after a tragedy. They housed us, clothed us, fed us, and hugged us. And I didn't want to, in the beginning, I didn't want to accept that help because I don't need anything. But I realized it was just as much for them as it was for me because they wanted to do something, and allowing them to do something was for them as well.
Isn't it hard? Isn't it strange that it's so hard for us to receive if we're hyper independent and hyper vigilance and all of that, of course, you know, starts in childhood and then it carries over into our adulthood. But I'm so sorry for your tragedy, whatever happened, but so happy that, you know what, you had community, right? And that's what you're all about, is community and human connection come around. But I too would have a hard time at first. Yeah. It sounds like you came to terms with it because then you were hugging everybody, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We would never want the bad things that happen, but for people who don't get stuck in that becoming their whole identity, getting past something like that, just it can open up doors that you never knew about.
Changes your life, changes your trajectory, changes your perspective, changes you on a cellular level when you go through things like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Last question. You ready?
Yep.
It's not as a hard one. It's more fun. All right. What do you wish we were having more conversations about that we're not talking about?
Ooh. Time travel.
Oh, time travel. Talk to me about that.
I've just always been fascinated with the concept and, but you can never quite, like, when there's time travel and it affects something in the past, and how does it happen the first time, and just
butterfly
weird things like that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, you know what? We may have you back on just to talk about time travel the whole time. We'll get far, far, far out there. Well, Beth, thank you so much for coming on. And friends out there, listen, ask yourselves, what are you performing in order to survive? And how might your life improve if you drop the role, the mask, or the performance? And when you find that answer, I'm your host, Lisa Lacey. Welcome to The Edge. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.